Hello, everyone. It's Corinne. Welcome, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I've been looking forward to this all day. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And I was thinking of just, again, as a reminder, although we play these roles, we have all these different hats and play all these different roles in this seeming world, that we have one Mother, Father, God, that is our parent, and all of us here are spiritual siblings. So it's a super helpful thing for us to remember. Let's begin with a meditation, a brief meditation, and then I'll share the page references. So wherever you are, just sitting comfortably, and gently, if you'd like, allowing your eyes to close. Turning our attention within and connecting with our willingness. We all have this willingness, or we wouldn't be on this call. So even if it's only for a split second, or even if it feels like it's just a tiny amount of willingness to see differently, touching this willingness and offering our willingness to Holy Spirit. Above all else, we want to see. Above all else, we want to see differently. And through our willingness, the Holy Spirit shows us the way. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh. So we've been with an Easter theme for a few weeks now. I think the week before Easter, we started with the Easter theme, and it's been going on each week as we've slowly been making our way through this section. So we're going to continue talking about this evening, and I'll just share the page references for all the editions. If you have the Sparkle edition, we are on page 481. It's the first full paragraph. It begins with the sentence, "You have the vision now to look past all illusions." That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society. If you have this book, it is chapter 20, part 3, paragraph number 11. So in the original edition, chapter 20, part 3, paragraph number 11. You have a vision now to look past all illusions. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, this corresponds to chapter 20, part 2, paragraph number 7. Again, chapter 20, part 2, in paragraph number 7 in FIP. And last but not least, if you have the purple book by the Circle of Atonement, it is page 638, paragraph number 7. Again, Circle of A, page 638, paragraph number 7. You have the vision to look past all illusions. All right. I just feel moved to just highlight the paragraph before this. It opens with saying, "This Easter, look with different eyes upon each other." So this is what we're talking about, this different vision, not the vision with the body's eyes, but the vision of Spirit through us. So here we go. I actually feel moved. I'm going to read two paragraphs because our paragraph breaks in the different editions are a little bit different, so I'm just going to go ahead and read these two paragraphs. You have the vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacles to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Who is afraid to look upon illusions, knowing his Savior stands beside him? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of illusion that God himself could give. For what God gave the Holy Spirit, you have received. The Son of God looks unto you for his release. For you have asked for and have been given the strength to look upon this final obstacle and see no thorns nor nails to crucify the Son of God and crown him King of Death. Your chosen home is on the other side, beyond the veil. It has been carefully prepared for you, and it is ready to receive you now. You will not see it with the body's eyes. That's worth repeating. You will not see it with the body's eyes. Yet all you need, you have. Your home has called to you since time began, nor have you failed entirely to hear. You heard, but knew not how to look nor where. And now you know. In you, the knowledge lies, ready to be unveiled and freed from all the terror that kept it hidden. There is no fear in love. The song of Easter is the glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness, and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together. And I'll pause there. So I'll just share a few initial thoughts, and then I'd just love to hear from folks what's coming up for you, whether it's a question or a sentence that stands out to you. I'm particularly struck by the first sentence that we read. You have a vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacles to peace. So it's saying we have the tools now to look past all illusions, and I feel like we can so easily get tripped up in thinking, oh, this takes time, oh, I still have so many issues, oh, I still have so much I have to do. And here it's clearly saying we have the capability now, we have the vision now to look past all illusions. And that is, again, through turning to the Holy Spirit within us and our willingness to step aside, to not judge, to know that we don't know, and instead to let Holy Spirit show us the truth, to allow the Christ in us to meet the Christ in, and to see, to join with the Christ in another. So that was particularly striking for me. I'm wondering, does anybody have anything coming up so far?
Well, I got together with some family members last night, and before they came, I kind of asked the Holy Spirit for help not to get involved in any kind of drama or, you know, judgment. And in the back of my mind, the thought, well, that takes time, kind of. But then I just let it all go. We had the best time. It was just the best evening. And after they left, you know, I thought to myself, it doesn't take time. I guess it really is just the willingness to follow the Holy Spirit.
To be happy rather than right, right?
Yeah. But it was. I really felt supported. I really felt good. And it just didn't take any time at all.
Mm-hmm. For me, sometimes
ask,
I think.
Oh, go
I
on,
think,
Linda.
Yeah, we talk about willingness and just what you're saying, Paul. And each time that we experience how it works when we do that willingness and that trusting, it strengthens us. But I think we just think sometimes I feel like sometimes I confuse intent with willingness. Oh, I intend to do this. And so that willingness takes the practice.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense, I don't know. But you have to, I can say I'm willing, but I have to work at it.
Absolutely.
Because of our resistance, right? Our unwillingness to heal. Yeah. And that's where looking at my own unwillingness has been so helpful for me in coming to my willingness, because when I can own and be so honest that, you know what? No, I do want to be right and not, you know, happy. I actually do want to tell my brother that he's wrong. I actually do, you know, I own my unwillingness. That helps me then look at that with Holy Spirit and come back to willingness.
Yeah, and that gives us that strength that it talks about that we now have.
Right.
Each time that we do that and we recognize how it's true, how the truth in it, then we become a little stronger in our willingness.
Yeah, it's like those, I like to think of them as like big blocks that are in, that we've seemingly, you know, the foundation of the ego thought system is not built on blocks. It's like, what was that story of the three little pigs and they build their house out of straw? And, you know, the ego's foundation is like mud and straw. It's not stable. It's not sustainable. And yet that's where we place our trust. So as what you're saying, Linda, what I'm hearing is that as we work this process and experience those moments of a shift, when we have those miracles, that is helping us transfer our trust from our shabby shack made of hay and mud to the solid foundation, the stable, solid foundation of the Holy Spirit. It's that transfer of trust that happens.
Yeah, that's kind of what I experience at times when I do that.
Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else have anything coming up?
Well, this is Steve. I find it curious that last sentence does say that there will be material in us, and the will is italicized. But earlier it does say we're there and we have it, but it's will in the future, I guess. So I don't know why it's italicized, and I don't know why it's saying that there will be no fear in us.
Okay. I had to find that sentence. So are you referring to let us lift our eyes together, not in fear but faith, and there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions.
I
I'm glad that you highlighted that. I almost don't read that as it referring to the future, that when we lift our eyes together in fear, in faith, let me say that again. When we lift our eyes together in faith, instantly there's no fear in us.
Okay.
So I actually don't, I don't read that as like later. Like the moment that we lift our eyes in faith, there is no fear there. When we lift our eyes in fear, of obviously, you know, yes, there is. So that's how I interpret that, though.
It's more of an emphasis, a form of emphasis.
The emphasis,
There will be no, That's the way I'm getting it.
Got it.
That it's emphasized.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve. That's helpful. The Course does seemingly have, you know, statements at times that sort of sound contradictory, and yet when we look closely, because the Course does teach on different levels, it's actually not contradictory. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. I love, too, how it's the second paragraph for me. I don't think the other editions have the paragraph breaks in the same place, but the sentence, it's probably in your second paragraph. Your home has called to you since time began, nor have you ever failed entirely to hear. That to me just speaks to this, you know, this calling in our hearts of wanting to be fulfilled, and yet because we've chosen to listen to the ego voice, the motto of seek but do not find, we've sort of been compelled to look to have that home fulfilled
in external things. Oh, you know, it was it's my child home, you know, my childhood that I miss. It's those things. It's not, you know, when we are listening to ego, we get tripped up and caught in thinking that that desire for fulfillment can come from something outside of us, and yet what we're looking for is God and heaven, which has never left us.
I have a question, Corinne.
Sure.
The veil, is that what is the blocks in our own mind when he says your chosen home is on the other side beyond the veil?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that
yeah.
a collective veil, do you think?
Well, it's all,
about
I mean,
the veil
there's,
a lot.
Yeah, there's only one of us. There's only one mind. And so I think of the veil as the how do I, I'm at a loss for words. The veil is perception. You know, the Course teaches how there's perception and knowledge, and perception is of the realm of form, and knowledge is of the formless realm. And so the veil is really our choice to use perception, to come into perception, and in perception now, we're perceiving that, you know, our eyes tell us that there are things out there. Our ears are registering sounds, that there's, you know, sounds of external things around us. That the veil is like perception. It's a block where we seemingly can't see past it to the truth that's beyond it. So I also have thought of the veil as, if you think about, I had this inspired thought come to me before because I'm going on a friend's radio show tomorrow, and if anybody on the call has ever had the experience of either whether it's a panic attack or some kind of intense anxiety or even just fear, it's this feeling of tunnel vision. Your perception, your awareness constricts to like a really, really small, narrow, you know, perception. And love is opposite that. Love opens and expands our awareness, not just to what we can see and hear and feel with the body, but as we work the course, in my experience, I've had that expansion of awareness that transcends the world of form. And I know we've all had that in different ways. So the veil to me is almost also another way of saying it. It's fear. It's the constriction of our awareness away from love into what seems to be solid and separate from us. Does that help?
It did help, and it made me think of a level of perception that's of ego, I believe. It's sort of like, say you buy a red car of a certain make, and all of a sudden that's all you see. That's where your perception goes.
Right.
I mean, or if, right. you know, you get pregnant, all you see are pregnant women because you're just focused on you. You know, your
right.
perception
right.
is guiding what you're seeing.
Right.
Does that
yes.
make any sense?
Absolutely. Yep. I like
okay.
that.
Okay.
Hey, Corinne, I wanted to say something about that. This is Matt. And,
please.
Happy Mother's Day. Everybody, happy Mother's Day, no matter what form your parenting takes. I was just asking for guidance as to whether or not to share this, but it just feels really appropriate to me. And so Mother's Day is a trip for me, and so I woke up this morning and I did my course lesson and meditated with it for a while. And my wife, you know, we had a great Mother's Day celebration, and that's the easy part. And I knew we were going to go over to my mom's place today. And so anyway, I do endurance swimming events in the ocean and different places, and I'm currently training for an event. So I knew I had to get a swim in. And I swim every day, so I only mention that because the experience I had was completely out of the ordinary and has a lot to do with the veil. And so the 2 seconds of context is the course has been bringing me to this amazing place of forgiveness and healing with my dad. And I'm not seeing the the physical manifestations of that with my body's eyes, but I am completely seeing it and feeling it on so many levels. And my mom and I have really reconciled in the last year. So anyway, I go to the pool and I'm swimming. When I just repeat usually my lesson of the day, every stroke, every breath, like I just get really into it, and it's really amazing. It's like this amazing meditation. And the coolest thing happened, and here's the other context. Like Mother's Day for me has been really challenging. My sister transitioned. She was killed in a car accident with my mother in the car, and my mom's obviously still alive. And so there's this immense grief that sort of like hovers over our family on any important anniversary, holiday, day, and it's been this way for a while. And it's so anyway, this is so fascinating, and it's totally in line with this undoing of illusions, piercing the veil, all you need, you have, won't see what your body's done. Sitting there in the pool, I'm finishing my workout, and one of the things I do is I train, I swim underwater as far as I can, and for a number of different reasons. But I'm swimming underwater, and all of a sudden, there were rainbows everywhere on the bottom of the pool, and I was like, this is crazy. What? This just must be my eyes. And there was all these like rainbow shimmering lights, and I was like, holy smokes, this is crazy. And I kept going, and it was the weirdest thing, and I became super weightless, and I could hold my breath for a pretty long time, relatively, but like I couldn't believe it. It was totally weightless. I could hold my breath forever, and there was just this shimmering light, these rainbows everywhere, and then I'd get to the other side and be like, what the, that's crazy. So I swam back, and there was all these rainbows, and I'd already been swimming for a full hour before this happened, and I was like, wow. This is totally the opening of the veil. And I could just feel my sister's presence, but not in the worldly sense of like, you know, she's this not body and me and my mom are bodies. And it was like, it could just feel like the whole web of atonement like passing out. And I could feel it like shimming through the water. It was a really beautiful experience. And I think what this piece about you've always been home, where was it? The part where, your chosen home is on the other side, beyond the veil. It's been carefully prepared for you, and it is ready to receive now. And then, Corinne, you were talking about how we have the vision to look past illusions now. There are no obstacles to peace. There are no thorns. And then I could so see all my family as just light, and we were all just one, and I felt my sister, and I could see my dad, and I could see my mom, and all of a sudden, like, I had this sense of, like, thank you. And I really got it. I was like, holy smokes, this is such a forgiveness on a deeper level. And I'm really getting, like, I just, in that moment, was not seeing thorns, whereas for many, many years, I have all my reasons why I saw these thorns. It was incredible. And I just wanted to share that. And I wasn't sure if I did. So I said to Jesus afterwards, I was like, yo, Jesus, you know, it's easy to get caught up in these experiences, and who really knows what that was, and if that's a private thing, just let it be between you and I. And then we went to my mom's place, and I swear, I've never seen her as happy as I have today. And, like, the joy that my daughter had with her, and, you know, I just sat there in the simplicity of this moment in my mom's beat-up, old, weird-ass house, and I was like, I don't need anything more than this. Like, this is amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to share that because it's really special. And I know that I've talked about forgiveness with my dad a couple times on this call, so thank you. I will be quiet now.
Oh, Matt, you don't need to be quiet. Thank you so, so much for sharing. That was such a gift, and I'm so touched by that story. I just, when we have those moments, when we have those transcendent experiences of piercing the veil, of seeing, you know, experiencing something beyond the veil, beyond this seeming world. The fact that you went over to your mom's and you said she like was so happy and it was just so wonderful. I immediately just think of how and I've said this so many times, how the Course says, you know, we don't understand, we can't possibly comprehend that when we accept mm-hmm. miracles, how it affects others. It's that interlocking, you know, cascade of miracles, as the Course talks about, that when we're healed, we are not healed alone. That's why I get so, I have such a level of commitment and desire and motivation to do this work, because I want to do it for all of us. I don't want anyone to suffer anymore. I want us all to wake up and to remember. So, and again, I'm talking as if it's something later, but like it is all available to us right now. So thank you for sharing that. That was absolutely, absolutely perfect and so beautiful. Yeah. Oh, awesome. I'm really touched. Anybody have any other, anything to add?
Corinne?
Awesome. Yeah.
Corinne?
Hi, Meg.
This is Meg. To me, just seemed wrong, just to go a little further, to me, the veil is sleep.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. That's a great way of it. That's like such a simple, the veil is sleep. Such a simple way of saying it. And so perfect. Thank you, Meg. Yes, yes, yes. I agree. I love how the Course says that the Bible says that a deep sleep fell upon Adam, and nowhere is there reference to his waking up. Oh, awesome.
Yes, so good.
Okay, I'm feeling moved to keep reading, so why don't we do that? And by the way, I have a computer screen open, so I can see there's like a little like green bar that lights up when any one of us talks. And I did mute somebody, and I'm so sorry, but I was noticing some background noise, and I didn't want to interrupt Matt's share. So you can always take yourself off of mute by pressing *6. So thank you. Let's go ahead and read another paragraph. Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? His innocence will light your way, offering you its guiding light and sure protection, and shining from the holy altar within him where you laid the lilies of forgiveness. Let him be to you the savior from illusions, and look on him with the new vision that looks upon the lilies and brings you joy. We go beyond the veil of fear, lighting each other's way. The holiness that leads us is within us, as is our home. So will we find what we were meant to find by him who leads us. I'll pause there. Here is just another reminder that we enter heaven two by two. The lamp is lit in our brother for the both of us. And so Matt just spoke about forgiveness opportunities with his dad. I've spoken about some big forgiveness opportunities that I've had with some multiple family members. Shutting somebody out, and I don't mean that you need to keep speaking to them, but in your mind, just dismissing something entirely without taking that opportunity to look at what's coming up with Holy Spirit means that we're missing out on an opportunity that can bring us joy, that can bring us joy. I love how mid-paragraph it said, let our brother be to us the savior from illusions and look on him with the new vision that looks upon the lilies and brings you joy. So there to me is that reminder that me as Corinne, the ego voice in me is only going to see, Corinne is only going to see the ego in another. When I am willing to get out of the way and meet and allow the Christ in me to meet the Christ in another, the truth in me to meet with the truth in another, there we are laying those lilies. There's where the true joy is. There's where our brother then becomes our savior. And it's so amazing, so beautiful when we can see, and we've shared many examples on these calls of things shifting, of situations shifting and forgiveness happening. And I don't recall now, I know I shared this on an Instagram post, but I had just a beautiful, one of the family members who I know I recently shared about on the call that I was having a lot of challenges with, I had a beautiful healing with that person, because what came up for me was that I knew I was not going to get anywhere without saying some things. I needed to, like, address some things out loud. Handing it over to the Holy Spirit, I was still too much in feeling grievances to be able to do that. But I knew I wanted to address things that would not increase the guilt in this other person. So I wanted, Corinne wanted to point my finger and say, you've done this, 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 and this. That sucks. And, you know, just kind of list out the list of grievances. I didn't go there until I was guided and until the time was right when it was going to happen in a way that didn't increase guilt. And that's exactly what happened because, again, I don't think I've shared this on the call, so I don't think I'm repeating myself, but basically what happened was the willingness to let go of attack was what came up in me. So I was willing to no longer attack this other person, even though I still felt angry. They called me because they were calling me a lot. I think I probably shared that with you all, that I was getting, like, incessant daily phone calls. And they asked, this person asked me about my chicken's healing story, which I shared with you all last week, which opened me up to start talking again. And I was easily able to say, hey, you know what, there's some other things I wanted to talk about too, and was able to just bring it up without attack. They didn't feel defensive. They totally received and accepted what I said and even took responsibility for it. It was a miraculous conversation. So when we have those experiences, going back to what we were talking about before, this is where the transfer of trust happens. This is where we can see that when we are healed, we're not healed alone. And by being willing to let the Christ in us lead, that is where our joy is found. By getting out of the way. Corinne's not going to do it. As much as she thinks she knows. Questions, comments, insights, what's coming up?
Corinne? Hi. I just wanted to say this. I love that story. As you told it, and what it brought to me was something that was on my mind this whole week regarding forgiveness. And it's the same thing you said about when we're healed. I relate that to when we forgive ourselves. Because when we forgive ourselves for our attack thoughts, and when we realize that we're all just one thing, so actually forgiving ourselves is forgiving in unison, forgiving everything. And a lot of times the focus is on forgiving the other, but not looking at where is the forgiveness in the equation that has to do with ourselves.
Yeah, that's a biggie. Thank you, Meg, for highlighting that. And you're reminding me of Nook Sanchez's prayer that Paula has reminded us of so many times, thankfully. The, you know, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using my parent, my child, my friend, my relative, whoever. Help me to forgive myself for using them to attack myself and to separate from your love. That self-forgiveness, that's it. That's huge.
You know,
so thank you for highlighting that.
Page 90 is also, wow. That
page
is,
90 and
FIP, I've been,
yes.
I have been using page 90 like 90 times a day lately. And it's just what she was just saying. I mean, it just, because it's not about anything out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's
no,
not about
it never
anyone.
Is.
It's just always allowing the Holy Spirit to undo the craziness.
Yeah. for anybody who isn't familiar with just what page 90 is, we're referring to page 90 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, which is the prayer, "I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise." And then it goes on, and it's just a perfect, perfect reset button.
Mm.
We're always pissed at ourselves and feeling guilty subconsciously because we think we've really pulled this off. And we're pissed at ourselves because this doesn't ultimately satisfy. You know, the ego has identified with the body as its chosen home, and yet it's not good enough for it because it's subject to, under the realm of the ego, sickness, death, all those not so fun things. And so, yeah, all that forgiveness is self-forgiveness. We never separated. We never separated. I need to hear that a million times over.
Mm.
Other thoughts, questions, insights? Hi, Greg.
How are you? How are you, everybody?
Good. So good to hear your voice.
I can't get it off my mind thinking about this veil. When I was a teenager, I used to do magic shows for little kids' birthday parties. And as a magician, you know, you use the sleight of the hand, but you make a veil with your hand. Or you actually use a wand with a little black tarp veil thing. You're always trying to get the perception of the audience to look over here to the false witness. Look at this false witness. I had some show up in my life today, and I had to look at them and go, that's a magic trick. I wasn't thinking of it that way today. It's just now coming back to me like this. You know, the veil, when Christ died, the veil was ripped in half, and so we could see beyond the veil now. To what? To what the truth is. Truth is what? And the witnesses that like came to me today, they did vanish because I had to keep repeating to myself, you know, this is the truth, and this is not the truth. And finally, the not the truth went away. But it is trying, the willingness. You have to do something, like you say. So I love you all. Thank you.
Oh, I love you, Greg. I'm so grateful that you brought that up because you just prompted me to just look back in the previous paragraph that we just finished, and it says, we go beyond the veil of fear. So there it is, the veil of fear. And I love how you brought up the magicians, you know, putting your hand up to hide something. The Course says that time is a trick. It's a sleight of hand. Those hand movements that magicians use to do whatever they need to do to do the magic trick, time is a trick. It's a sleight of hand. Time is magic also. It's not real. It's not real. So I'm so grateful that you brought that up about sort of making that parallel with magic, because we are duped all the time when we're relying on what our body's eyes, ears, and senses are telling us, because this is the magic. This is the trick. It's supposed to be mesmerizing to keep our attention away from the truth, away from love.
That's the thing about... Hi, it's Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
That's the thing about holograms, like the world, whatever we're perceiving, is a hologram. And so it has to be the most convincing thing possible so that we will buy into the fact that it could actually be real.
Deidre, this is Sue. Could you explain? You've used that term before, and I'm pleading ignorance here. I've heard of the term, but I don't have a good concept of what that is.
Hologram is like a transparent representation of a figure or an image of something. So
okay.
It's not actually there, but you think that it is. Does that make sense?
Boy.
Okay, sort of like the first Star Wars where they projected Princess Leia.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what this whole thing we're looking at is.
Yeah.
The projection. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's really just empty space. Or a screen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really just love.
Yeah, okay.
It's really just love.
It's
There's nothing out there. It's just love. I want to go back to what Deidre just said because that's so important. Because beyond the veil of fear is hiding love. It's hiding this grand, incredible awareness of who we are. That we would just drop all this in a second if we fully remembered it. And the veil of fear is hiding that from our awareness. We put it into place to try to make ourselves forget the truth. I've said this before, but we've used, if you think of the power of God that we have in us, we've used that to utterly make ourselves forget the truth. And so the fear is only hiding love. So there's only love. There's no ego to be afraid of. There's no darkness. There's no nothing like that. It's only love. Mm-hmm. That's what we're scared of, which when we touch it, we're like, why did I ever fear this?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. I think we're going to finish this section tonight. Let's read another paragraph. This is the way to heaven and to the peace of Easter, in which we join in glad awareness that the Son of God is risen from the past and has awakened to the present. Now is he free, unlimited in his communion with all that is within him. Now are the lilies of his innocence untouched by guilt and perfectly protected from the cold chill of fear and withering blight of sin alike. Your gift has saved him from the thorns and nails, and his strong arm is free to guide you safely through them and beyond. Walk with him now rejoicing, for the Savior from illusions has come to greet you and lead you home with him. I'm just going to finish reading and then we'll talk. Here is your Savior and your friend, released from crucifixion through your vision and free to lead you now where he would be. He will not leave you nor forsake the Savior from his pain. And gladly will you walk the way of innocence together, singing as you behold the open door of heaven and recognize the home that called to you. Give joyously to one another the freedom and the strength to lead you there. And come before each other's holy altar where the strength and freedom wait to offer and receive the bright awareness that leads you home. The lamp is lit in both of you for one another, and by the hands that gave it to each other shall both of you be led past fear to love. I want to just say that if that whole, this is for anybody, and I'm only saying this because for a long time, this whole idea of the world not being real and it being a hologram used to scare me. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean this isn't real? And just a reminder that when we experience something, I'm sure many of us have had an experience of being afraid to do something. We do it, and we're like, oh, my gosh, this is the best ever. Why was I ever afraid of that? That was so silly. That's what happens in stages with our awareness. We're not going to jump from 0 to 100. This is a gradual, gentle process that as we experience miracles, shifts, peace that is not of this world, we drop the fear that was there, and then we're ready for a little bit more. Then we drop more fear, and we're ready for a little bit more. So this is a very, very gradual process. If any of that sounded at all intimidating, please just be willing to look at that with Holy Spirit. That's just the ego saying, yeah. this is super gentle, and we awaken as we're ready. And as we awaken, all we lose is fear. All we lose is pain. All we lose is suffering. That's it. That is it. There is no sacrifice of anything, and that's all we lose is
Corinne. This is Sue again. I feel like I'm talking a lot, but excuse me.
Go for it.
I did hear, I used to listen to, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the Sedona Method, and it's a way of letting go of your ego and so forth and so on. But anyway, she was having some calls on spirituality, and she's a very good teacher. She did transcendental meditation for a long time. But anyway, she said the idea that this is all an illusion makes people think that there's nothing there. She says, and that's not what that means. She says what she says happens is that you see yourself, capital L, reflected in the world back to you. You see the truth about yourself reflected. Everything reflects the truth about who you really are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see that.
Like, if you think about it, the world is like a mirror. It's going to reflect back to us. If we're seeing through the ego, we're going to see back, you know, experiences, witnesses that tell us that, oh, yeah, you're separate. You can be hurt. As we come to drop the fear and come to ourself with a capital S, absolutely, that gets reflected back to us. And those are the witnesses that we see. So I actually see that totally as in alignment still with the idea that this is all an illusion, because it's all a reflection.
Okay.
Yeah,
reflection.
I see that as the same thing as well, because the Course is very clear that the ego is actually nothing. So it's only the
mm-hmm.
ego that isn't real. Love is eternal.
Mm.
Yes, yes. We are very real. We are very, very real. I'm not talking about these bodies and these like
mm-hmm.
separate personalities, but you and me with a capital Y and a capital M, you and me, you and I, we are forever.
Does it ever
kind of
shake you up a little bit about, well, if I'm not in this body, what am I? Do you ever go there? Like,
I have,
wanting,
yes. In a,
you're not wanting to just be light and a ray of light that doesn't particularly appeal to me.
It doesn't, you said?
Yeah, no, it doesn't right now.
Yeah, that's good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that radical honesty is so important. It's so important. And that's where, again, be willing to look at that with Holy Spirit. Say, oh, you know, that doesn't sound so good to me, and just be willing to look at it. Because, again, as we come to experience our true self, the experience that we have, whatever we thought it was going to be, like, those are just our projections of what we think that's going to be like. You know, we have ideas, stories that we're building around, well, what truth must be like? What must it be like to be formless? You know, we start building stories around that. And if we can just be willing to drop the stories and say, I think the most powerful thing, the Course even says this somewhere, ask, what am I? You know, who am I? We don't know. That's our problem, is that we think we know. We've decided, we've built these whole personalities with all these stories that come along with it. And if we can instead say, you know what, Holy Spirit, show me who I am. I want to know. I want to know. Give me some experiences to teach me what I really am. That's the best place that we can be in.
Right.
That place
good.
Of not knowing.
You know, I'm reading this book now. This is Matt. I'm reading this book. Now, The Secret Language of the Brain, and this scientist, I think she's from Stanford, she came up with this phenomenal research, and she basically said that the brain, through this mishmash of, like, constructed emotion, is constructing its own reality all the time. And that's, so, like, you're reading, here's this woman, she's basically studying, like, our egoic experience, and she's like, yeah, we're making this shit all up all the time. And, you know, it's funny, I I was thinking about like my experience this morning, and it came out of nowhere, and it was like an experience that felt so much more real than anything else. And it's the weirdest experience, because I know, you know, we talk about the collapse of time in the Course, and it, to me, you know, it can be so conceptual. And this morning, all of a sudden, it was literally like an accordion folding in on itself. It's hard to explain, but it was like all of a sudden, all these agreements that me and my mom and dad and sister had made, it was like, boop, 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 and then all of a sudden, it all made sense, and it all made sense super quick. And I was like flying through this tunnel of rainbow light. I mean, that's craziness. But to see the fruits of that and like the nitty-gritty relationship and looking into another person's eyes, like you were just saying, Corinne, it's like that was so real. That love was so real. So, you know, it's interesting too. For me, I've had these experiences will always come out of nowhere, and I don't have them often, so I don't mean to say that I do. But you know what I find is so interesting when they do come out of nowhere? It's often like when I'm training or I'm swimming or I'm doing something and like my physical body seems to be very engaged, but then I realize, oh my God, this thing is nothing. Like this like muscles and bones and nerve firing. And then something, it's like this tiny eye of the needle. And then it's like that spark of true perception comes through. So yeah, it used to trip me out about the not being real stuff. In fact, cause I too had terrible panic attacks. Actually put the Course down for a while because I'm like, oh, I can't deal with any more unreality. And now I find it so freeing because it like just gives me this felt sense of the most immense peace. And then again, like it shows up as like transformations in the craziest relationships where I didn't think anything could touch. You know, like the Course says that the holiest spot on earth is where, what is it, an ancient hatred has become a present love. And, like, that's real. Like, that's real. And that's where the rubber meets the road for me. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt. That was great. Yeah, you know, I really encourage, if anything that we say is like, oh, that doesn't sound so good or that brings up fear, I've probably thought that same thing myself. So please share it because we can only benefit from being radically honest with what's coming up in us. So rather than, you know, push it to the side or dismiss it, if we just put it out there, chances are you're not the only one thinking it. I've probably thought it myself, and it's a great opportunity for us to again, undo the ego fear, because any fear that arises is only ever the ego trying to say, oh, you know, stop doing this, let's not take any more love, let's just keep, you know, keep things status quo and keep not being fully happy. So I appreciate everything everybody shared.
Yeah. You know, it's hard when the text, I mean, we've said it and you believe it, the ego is nothing. But it sure feels like something. You know, and when we refer to it, it's the ego is just doing this or the ego is just doing that. It's like we're giving it a power that it doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only
mm-hmm.
ones that have
mm-hmm.
the power. I mean,
yep.
It's crazy.
It's true.
It's like we're, these dummies in our hands and we're manipulating the dummy to say,
yep.
And yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And we're the power
100%
behind the dummy.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, well said. It's only, the ego is only ever a false belief. It's only ever a false belief. It has no power of itself whatsoever. It's just mm-hmm. a false belief. Awesome. Any final words? I just glanced at the time. We're at the top of our time. Everybody good to go? Or does anybody have anything else you just want to share?
I love this group.
I love this group too.
Me too.
I love you all. I'm so grateful, so grateful. Thank you so much for showing up and holding the space, and I truly look forward to joining again next week. So love you all. Have a great
love
one.
You all.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you too.
Bye,
bye family.
Bye.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
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 Bye. family.
Bye-bye.